श्रीमद् भागवतम
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I read the verse 41. Sanskrit. Mahatalam tu gopabhyam prapadabhyam rasatalam patalam pada talata Iti lokamaya punam Mahatalam tu gopabhyam Prapadabhyam rasatalam Patalam padatalata Iti lokamaya punam Mahatalam tu gopalabham Prapadabhyam rasatalam Patatalam padatalam Iti lokamaya pumam Mahatalam The fifth planetary system below Tu, but, Gopabhyam, situated on the calves, Prapadabhyam, on the upper or front portion of the feet, Rasatalam, the sixth planetary system below, Patalam, The seventh planetary system below. Pada Talata. On the bottom are soles of the feet. Iti. Thus. Lokamaya. Full of planetary systems. Pumam. The Lord. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace on Vishnu Paraparamahamsa Paribrajakacharya Ashtotara Satasi Simane Sivakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. My dear son Narad, know from me that there are seven lower planetary systems out of the total 14. The first planetary system, known as Atala, is situated on the waist. The second, Vitala, is situated on the thighs. The third, Sutala, on the knees. The fourth, Talatala, on the shanks. The fifth, Mahatala, on the ankles. The sixth, Rasatala, on the upper portion of the feet. And the seventh, Patala, on the soles of the feet. Thus, the Virat form of the Lord is full of all planetary systems. Please repeat. My dear son Narad, Know from me that there are seven lower planetary systems out of the total 14. The first planetary system, known as Atala, is situated on the waist. The second, Vitala, is situated on the thighs. The third, Sutala, on the knees. The fourth, Tatatala, Talatala, on the shanks. The fifth, Mahatala, on the ankles. The sixth, Rasatala, on the upper portion of the feet. And the seventh, Patala, on the soles of the feet. Thus, the Virat form of the Lord is full of all planetary systems. Purport. Modern enterprises, and in parentheses, the astronauts who travel in space, may take information from Srimad Bhagavatam that in space there are 14 divisions of planetary systems. This situation is calculated from the earthly planetary system, which is called Bhurloka. Above Bhurloka is Bhuvarloka, and the topmost planetary system is called Satyaloka. These are the upper seven lokas of planetary systems, and similarly, there are seven lower planetary systems, excuse me, known as Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala lokas. All these planetary systems are scattered over the complete universe, which occupies an area of 2 billion square miles. Modern astronauts can only travel only to a few thousand miles away from the Earth, and therefore their attempt to travel in the sky is something like a child's play on the shore of an expansive ocean. The moon is situated in the third status of the upper planetary system. And in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we shall be able to know the distant situation of the various planets scattered all over the vast material sky. There are innumerable universes beyond the one in which we are put. And all these material universes cover only an insignificant portion of the spiritual sky, which is described above as Sanatana, Brahmaloka. The Supreme Lord very kindly invites the intelligent human beings to return back home, back to Godhead, in the following verse of Bhagavad Gita 8:16. Abrahma bhuvana loka puna arvatina juna mamupetya tu kuntiya puna janma na vidyate. Beginning from Satyaloka, the topmost planet of the universe, situated just below the eternal Brahmaloka, as described above, all the planets are material. And one situation in any of the many material planets is still subject to the laws of material nature, namely birth, death, old age, and disease. But one can get complete liberation from all the above-mentioned material pangs when one enters into the eternal Brahmaloka Sanatana atmosphere, the kingdom of God. Therefore, liberation, as contemplated by the speculative philosophers and mystics, is possible only when he becomes a devotee of the Lord. Anyone who is not a devotee cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Only by attainment of service attitude in the transcendental position can one enter into the kingdom of Godhead. Therefore, the speculative philosophers, as well as the mystics, must first of all be attracted to the devotional cult before they can factually attain liberation. I'll read this second last verse, because the chapter is finished. Bhuloka kalpita padyam padyam bhuvaloka shva nabita shva loka kapito murtna iti valoka kalpana. Translation. Others may divide the whole planetary system into three divisions, namely the lower planetary systems up on the legs up to the earth, the middle planetary systems on the navel, and the upper planetary systems, Svavaloka, on the chest to the head of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The three divisions of the complete planetary system are here mentioned. 14 are imagined by others, and that is also explained. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second chapter, the fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Cause of All Causes. ओम अज्ञानति मिरन्दश जनन जनन सलाके अधक्षूर मिनितं दीने तस्मै श्री गरी नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गरधा शिवाशरि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरि हरि, हरि राम 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 हरि हरि। So here is a description of the universe, the position of the situation of the universe, how there are 14 planetary systems, from high to low. Also, others describe as, imagine as three planetary systems, upper, lower, and the middle planetary system. So all these systems, it says here they're imagined. It's not actually an imagination. But they imagine them situated on the form of the Lord. That is kind of an imagination. Like here, Rasatala and Shatala, they're situated, Patala is on the feet, on the soles of the Lord. So in this way you can get a picture of the Lord and you see how the planetary systems are situated in his body. Then you can comprehend how the Lord is all pervading. Everything is within the Lord, and He is also beyond everything. So in this way, we can contemplate the different the Lord in this feature of the Virat Purush, and also we can understand the. How the arrangement has been made by the Lord from these 14 planetary systems, and how the elevation of the living entity takes place. One who is degrading himself by his activities, by his work, then he goes downwards to the lower planetary systems. And one who elevates himself by pious work, he's going up to the higher planetary systems. So more or less we can only imagine what is taking place, because we cannot comprehend. We got, you know, today we got such so-called modern advancement, telescopes and everything, but still, they just see a few thousand miles, that's all. It's insignificant. Insignificant. Brahma Samhita says, Muni Pungavanam, that those munis, even if they travel the speed of mind, mind is so fast, you can, one moment, you know, I can be in my back garden in England, thousands of miles, one moment, you can, by mind. So mind is so fast, but he said if you can travel at that speed, if you get a rocket to go that speed, and still you travel for thousands and thousands, still you will not be able to enter the spiritual planet. Beyond any calculation. And even there in the Brahma Samhita, it said that even if someone was powerful enough to get there, still that place, the Goloka, is protected by different tridents. In 10 directions, there are tridents which prevent anybody coming in. Of course, it's beyond our conception in Kali Yuga, but in Satya Yuga and things like that, people had much more powers. Just like the Kumaras. They were around in Satya Yuga, four Kumaras. So they decided to stay as Brahmacharis and keep the age of 4 or 5 years old. But they were allowed to go to Vaikuntha. They were very powerful in Satya Yuga. Because there was no corruption in those days. Actually, everybody had peace of mind. Everybody who actually was Paramatma realized in Satya Yuga. Because Krishna says, one who has controlled the mind, to him, the super Paramatma is already reached. So everybody has peace of mind in Satya Yuga. So Paramatma is reached. Therefore, the Yuga The Dhamma for that yoga is dhyanam. So they would just meditate on Paramatma. And it was beautiful. And everything was beautiful. The whole world was beautiful. It was like Vaikuntha. Everybody has peace of mind. There's no... Nobody's... truthfulness, religiosity, mercifulness, cleanliness. They're all fully present there in each... As the yugas progress and they gradually diminish. Kali Yuga, everything's a little bit of mercifulness, I think. Or truthfulness, a little bit left. And that's also diminishing fast. But in that age, there's no problem practically. Although, still there is birth and death. You still have to undergo birth and death. Even if you're in such a the best situation possible, the beginning of Satyut Yuga, best situation possible. But the problem is they're so happy because they're Paramatma realized, they're feeling the presence of the Lord everywhere, that they don't bother about anything else. You know, it's pretty good. You know? So there's no real desire to get out of the place because there's no a lot of suffering like that. And you're with the Lord anyway, so there's no real desire also to go back to Godhead also. And still they have that independent nature, because on there it's just what they wanted, you know. They have the independence they wanted to. And the presence of Krishna is felt and they're independent. And it's a real nice time. So that inclination to go back is also not there. So there's another problem. Even if you get the best age, everybody's striving for a Satyut Yuga, but then that's also full of problems. Because ultimately, again, you've got to be kicked out of that situation. How long you can stay? Then in the course of the universe, Satyut Yugas, by time, Satyut Yuga will come. The next Yuga, Tretat Yuga, will come and push the Satyut Yuga away, then Dwapara Yuga, then Kali Yuga. So therefore, in this verse, Prabhupada's quoting, they're all places of suffering, where repeated birth and death take place. So Krishna is saying that these are the four problems actually of life. This is birth, old age, disease and death. These are the real problems. Everything else, they're all secondary problems. But today, factually, we deal with all the secondary problems. We're trying to solve all the secondary problems. The real problem is that people are growing old, they're becoming diseased, dying and taking birth again. Nobody makes a big thing about that, but you know, there's a little war somewhere and anything. But the whole world has to know, you know, what should we do about this situation, what should we do about the problem? But nobody's saying anything about what about the problem of birth and death, which is the real problem. The others are just temporary phases. They're going to. These are the real problems, Krishna said. And nobody's really making any. They're trying to make a solution. So many hospitals, because nobody wants to become diseased. So many medicines. So many health clinics where you can become rejuvenated because they don't want to get old, or plastic surgery and they stretch all the skin and take all the wrinkles out, and you know, dyeing the hair different colors because it's going to be gray. Because we don't like this old age. So all these things, we want to remain eternally youthful and fresh. What to speak of dying? We don't want that. Nobody wants a death. But why so much birth control now is advertised? They want to stop that. But then it's still going on despite everything. People are still being born. They're still growing old. They're still becoming diseased and they're still dying. And whatever we try to do about the situation, nothing happens. I mean, we've almost conquered this specific disease, you know, smallpox. We've practically wiped it out now. used to be such a terrible disease, and we're so proud. But then you get another one, AIDS. It's twice as bad, you know. People are dying like anything. So you can't stop it. You think you've got one, and then another one comes up, and then another new one will come up like that. So it doesn't stop. Why? Because it's made like this by Krishna's arrangement. That's why. How you can interfere with God's law? Material world is a place of reformation. It's supposed to make us wake up. It's not meant for having a good time. The idea is that we get so much punishment that we actually wake up. That is the whole idea of Durga Devi giving us so much punishment, so we can actually take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Devi Heshi Gunamai, Mamma Maya Duratya Krishna. This is my Maya. If you want to overcome her, you have to take shelter. That's the only way. So it's to wake us up to that conclusion. You know, we try to enjoy Maya. We've been kicked through billions and billions of bodies, billions and billions of universes. Finally, we were fatigued, materially fatigued. Prabhupada, in a very nice way. When you are materially fatigued, actually, you can come to Krishna consciousness. So when we actually become materially fatigued, we try to, okay, what is the solution, Krishna? I'm turning to you, and you please give me the solution. I've tried so much to enjoy. I realize I'm fatigued, material. I'm fed up of trying. What next? Krishna, you please help me. And then Krishna said, no, you surrender to me. Then I, Lord, or Maya Devi, you stop. You can't stop my. I, Lord, or Maya Devi. So then Krishna makes it easy for a devotee. Otherwise, no one else can understand. Prabhupada mentioned that no one else can understand except the devotee of Krishna. Therefore, all the speculative philosophers, as well as the mystics, must first of all be attracted to the devotional cult before they can factually attain liberation. So even if you want liberation, I saw the yoga teacher yesterday in Anukul's house. Yes, one yoga teacher was there. And he said, I'm practicing the Shankha Yoga system, Ashtanga Yoga, and etc. But of course, the purpose is liberation, not just to attain any powers or anything like that. So I asked him, what is the liberation? Well, then he didn't really know what it was, what actual liberation is. But here, liberation means getting beyond the material universe into the spiritual atmosphere. So, Vedanti tat tat vitas tat yam abhyam, Brahmaniti paramatmi bhagavaniti sabjati. So we have to know God is understood in these three aspects, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And if you want to know Brahman, if you want liberation, just to go into the spiritual atmosphere, that you have to understand Brahman, that is also Krishna. Vedanti tathata. Brahman iti paramatmi bhagavan. He is three, he is known in three aspects. So if you want that aspect of liberation, Brahman liberation, then you have to understand that aspect of Krishna. And it's Krishna. And Krishna says, I can only be known by bhakti. So even if you want to know the Brahman aspect, you have to have some bhakti there. So generally, the jnanis, by their practice of studying, etc., and austerities, they come to a point where they actually control their senses very, very nicely. They control their minds very, very nicely. They do everything pakka. And then they come to a point and I can't do anything else. I do my sadhana so perfectly. Now, and then they pray, Lord, I'm completely dependent on you. Whether you want to give me mukti or not. They realize that by my own powers and everything, my control. I've gone as far as I can. And then they actually realize that, no, it's just dependent on you, Lord. So actually they surrender at that time. They depend on the Lord. And there's a little bit of bhakti. And because there's bhakti, if they're qualified, then Krishna gives. Because there was some bhakti, atmanivedyam, they actually surrendered. They adopted one of the nine processes. And they actually surrendered. Now it's up to you, Lord. They depend on the Lord. And because of that little bit of bhakti, then they will get their liberation. So they all need devotional service. Prabhupada says, anyone who's not a devotee cannot enter into the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. How you can get it? Only by attainment of a service attitude in the transcendental position. Then one can enter into the kingdom of God. So it is this devotional, the service attitude, which one can actually enter into the kingdom of God. And Prabhupada said, this is actually the only thing that attracts Krishna, is the attitude, is the devotional attitude. It's not the service we do or the amount of service, it's the attitude in which the service is performed. That's the only thing that attracts Krishna. Otherwise, he doesn't need servants. He can to do service for him. He can billions and billions of. He can create billions and billions of just people who are doing service. But he wants the attitude, and specifically that devotional attitude or loving attitude. This is what Krishna relishes. Loving attitude. God is one, and he becomes many. Why? For his pleasure. That pleasure means in the exchange, the attitude. The loving exchange that he has with his different parts and parcels. This is what Krishna really relishes. He doesn't need any service done. He doesn't need servants. But he wants to enjoy that relationship, that loving relationship. Krishna is... He loves to taste his rasa. He's the rasa raj. He wants to taste all these different aspects. And variety is the spice of life. So therefore you have hundreds and varieties of living entities in relationship to Krishna. Krishna is enjoying all these. His rasa. And this is Krishna's pleasure, and this is also the greatest attainment for the living entity also. That when he's properly situated in his relationship with Krishna. Yeah, first must be attracted to the devotional cult before they can attain factual liberation. So that devotional, Prabhupada said, the devotional service attitude in the transcendental position can one enter into the kingdom of God. So it means devotional service in the transcendental position, then one can actually enter into the kingdom of God. So that is the liberated platform, the transcendental platform. This is more or less after the stage of anatta nibriti. That is cheta darpana marjanam, when the heart is clean from all material things. More or less at that stage, then one comes to the transcendental platform, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. That is begin at Sambandha. So that is actually the beginning of transcendental life, where you actually experience transcendental life. Even now, we may not be on that platform. It's devotional service, and Krishna is accepting that service. It's going through Krishna. We're serving Guru. That service is being offered to Krishna, and Krishna is accepting that. But we may not be able to appreciate it. Krishna can appreciate it, but we may be able to appreciate how that relationship is going on, how that interaction is going on. Krishna can appreciate. But when you come above the modes of, then you can actually appreciate how that connection is there. That sambandha is there. Because when you're above that stage of anatta nivritti, then you come to the Brahman platform. Krishna is Brahman. You're Brahman. Therefore, you are on the same platform. Therefore, you can exchange on that platform. The exchange is going on the spiritual platform. Therefore, it says that only by attainment of devotional service in the transcendental position, then you can enter into the kingdom of Godhead. In other words, that is the kingdom of God. Even while we're here in this material world, when you've entered into that consciousness, that is the kingdom of God, because it's identical with the spiritual world. So this attainment of liberation, the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, although the Jnanis and the philosophers, they will say that this is, you know, we have achieved our goal, this is the attainment we are looking for, we were trying, now we've made it now. They are longing for this position. Peace of mind is automatically there. Instant karma is there. There's no reaction. Everything that's happening is instant. They don't have to wait for any reaction. Everything. It's a very, very beautiful position to be in this material world. And they have equal samadarshini. They're equally disposed to everything and everyone. So a very, very beautiful position. And they say now that we've attained this, then that's the finish of our studies, austerities, everything. This is the combination. Now we don't need to do that anymore. We've understood what is that principle of Brahman. The whole purpose of it was to understand. Now we've attained this position. But Chaitanya Charitamrita says, no, this is the beginning for the devotees. This is the beginning. Because now you've actually tasted that chance. Now you can actually act on that platform. They said, then the chanting really begins. Then the hearing really begins. Then the service really begins, because everything is coming from the soul on the spiritual platform. So then actually it really, but then it becomes actual relishable, tangible, something tangible. But at the moment, the devotional service, it's not really tangible. We're not appreciating how it's going to Krishna, how the reciprocation is going. But it's going there. It's not that we're not performing devotional service. By the mercy of the Guru and Parampara, it's being offered to Krishna and Krishna's accepting it. But we could be relishing like anything. Every moment of Krishna consciousness, if we were on that transcendental platform, we could appreciate how Krishna is accepting it. But now we're not appreciating it. Why? Because we still have different attachments, etc. that are keeping us bound up. And we find some of these attractions quite nice. So it kind of deflects us from appreciating how really nice that transcendental relationship it is. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, upon gaining this, you think there's no greater gain. Nothing is equal to this. But we think there may be something equal in this, some happiness somewhere, something equal I can get somewhere or another, I'm still. This is our foolishness. So Krishna says, give up all of those desires, foolish desires. You're still hanging on to some idea, you may get some happiness in the material. Don't. Sarvadhanam, give it up. Depend on me. Why is Krishna demanding like that? Why he wants our happiness? That's why. It's not like a chastisement. Sarvadhanam priten. Why? I want your happiness. That's why I'm telling you to do this. I want your greatest happiness. I want you to experience like me. I want to enjoy you to enjoy this relationship again with me. So this is the Krishna consciousness process. It's actually an awakening process. It's not we're trying to achieve something. We're trying to achieve Krishna consciousness. It's already there in the heart. We need to see the Krishna prana. It's already there, it's simply covered. So this process is Chetodarpana is cleaning all the dirty things off. And it's an uncovering or an awakening process. The more you uncover, the more you awaken. Awaken, awaken, awaken. So it's an awakening process. And when that avidya is gone, then you're awake. It's called an awakened stage. Then Krishna says you become different from all that has been seen, and you become different from indifferent from that. All that is said in the Vedas, you're indifferent to that. All the rules, all the regulations, you're completely aloof. Because you know Krishna. And all the Vedas are meant to understand. Know Krishna, all the rules and regulations to bring you to this point. So this is the stage of what is it said? Beatitude. I use that word in the Christian word, beatitude. Stage of beatitude. But it is a beautiful position to be in. Who wouldn't want that position? But only devotees can really taste and enjoy that. Although the jnanis, they can get up to that point, the happiness they experience is just actually the cessation of suffering. That's all. It's not actually transcendental. There's no rust, there's no churning, and there's no relationship is going on. Because they deny the philosophy of personism. So it's certainly, it's an under compared to the release from the miserable suffering of material earth. But there's no real rasa there. No exchange. And so therefore, Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, he admitted this. In the Banaras, he was the leader of all the Mayavadi sannyasis. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there to deliver him, and after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had converted him into becoming a devotee, then he admitted. He said, actually, there are many hundreds and thousands of sannyasis here in Benares. And he said, there are actually some who are actually liberated. There are a few who are actually liberated. And he said, those who are liberated, we're understanding, we're on that Brahman platform, the position of happiness. But those who are liberated, he said, there are many who imagine they're liberated. Imagine they're liberated just by gyan. But there are some of us who are actually liberated. Those who are actually liberated, he said. They're living in the self, rejoicing in the self. They see the self by the light of the self, etc. He said, for them, there is a feeling in their consciousness that there's something else. Simultaneously, we're completely satisfied. Krishna says, when you're in this stage, you know, hankering, you're completely satisfied. We're feeling that. Completely self-satisfied. We are self-satisfied. But there's another thing, a lingering thing that says there's something else. But of course, the philosophy of Shankaracharya denies anything else. It'll be a duality. So we have to push it out of our mind. You see, but they said we cannot deny it. That feeling is there for the self-realized persons. In the soul itself, there is a feeling. They're self-satisfied. They feel that. We don't want anything. We're completely self-satisfied. But there's a lingering feeling. There's something else. But their philosophy denies it. So there can't be anything else. Because that would be a duality. So there can't be any duality. But he said, now you've explained this whole science of devotional service. We understand what that is. There is something else. And that, although we're completely self-satisfied, still, we're forgetting Krishna. and the relationship with Krishna. Now you are explaining this. This is, and that the soul is actually feeling this. And we actually feel it as a reality, that there is something else. Now you've explained what it is. Therefore, we're accepting you. And we're accepting now Shankaracharya's philosophy is actually distorted. It's keeping us from the truth, the real truth. So, of course, that feeling only comes when you're self-realized. So the other, those who imagine they're liberated simply by jnana, they can't appreciate that feeling. Because they're not living in the self, rejoicing in the self. But those who are, they admit that, yes, there is something that is a natural thing, that the feeling in the soul, there's something else. Because the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna. It can never be finished. Never be finished. So even the Mayavadis, they try, they attain that position. Still the feeling is there. Their whole philosophy, but still they cannot deny the feeling. Because it's an intrinsic part of the soul. You cannot take it away from the soul. Never, at any time. Krishna says, never was a time when I did. Oh, he's talking about eternality. But individually, he's saying, as I didn't exist in the past, nor you, nor these kings, nor in the future, shall any of us as individuals cease to exist. So Krishna is confirming individuality of the soul. And Krishna says, they're my parts and parcels. They have relationship with me, everyone. So the process of bhakti yoga directly, it brings you to this point of serving Krishna. You don't even have to wait till you're liberated. In fact, this is this is liberation. Even sadhana bhakti is liberation. Because it's called imperceptible liberation. Imperceptible liberation. Sanatana Goswami, when he approached Chaitanya, Amiki. Who am I? I don't know who I am. They call me Pandit. Because I'm the and I'm accepting, but I do not know who I am. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no. From my angle of vision, you're already liberated. Why? Because you're inquisitive. What is liberation? What is the goal of life? You started from my angle of vision, you're already on the path. It's just the goal is at the end of the path and you're on the path. Therefore you are liberated because you're on the path. So devotional services, once you're on the path, you're actually liberated. Because you're on the path of liberation. It's just a matter of time before you get there. So this is called imperceptible liberation. Kapila Muni says, even the neophyte devotee, when he looks at the deity, and he's absorbed in seeing beautiful dress and beautiful smiling face. At that time he's liberated. He's a neophyte devotee. He's just absorbed. He's imperceptibly liberated. So this is the glory of this sampradaya that's coming down from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Golokyara Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. The whole process is coming from Golok. All those different devotees, chariots, they're also coming, they're giving this whole process of devotion service to Krishna. And this is way, way, way beyond any kind of Vaikuntha liberation. What to speak of just ordinary Brahman realization? What to speak of any other kind of transcendental realization? Paramatma, etc. It's such an exalted position to be under the shelter of these personalities. That even we're Kali Yuga's living entities completely. Brains full of cow dung. Still, we're taking shelter. You cannot imagine. It's millions of times better than those aspiring even to go to Vaikuntha. And the glories of those people is so much sung in the, throughout the Vedas. But that those who follow Lord Chaitanya's path, so, here the Virat Purusha, it's a, Prabhupada said it's a materialistic understanding of the Lord, but it's, at least it's an understanding of the Lord. We can appreciate how the Lord is everywhere. But ultimately, we have to enter into a relationship. The devotional attitude is mentioned, but this, how we can develop a devotional attitude towards the Virat Rupa. That's too difficult. Not possible, actually. But to the personal form of the Lord, yes, then, I mean, that we can see, like the deity, etc. He said, then, that is much better than the worship of the Virat Purusha. Because you can actually do practical service, you can actually have a relationship. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Nitai Gopremanandi. Thank you. Hare Krishna.